the Lord has put on my heart about, well, He's been dealing with me and dealing with this whole ministry. Amen. Dealing with those we minister to, and God is dealing with the whole body of Christ. And He is shaking the church, and He's going to continue to shake the church. And He's shaking each individual member.
Amen.
Or we might say membrane. And what we want to start a series. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just being led by the Spirit. We'll see where we go with this, but we're gonna do an introduction to becoming mature. And I don't know how many tapes it's going to take, but we're going to go through it until the Lord says stop. But one of the things is maturity is an important factor of being a believer. It's just like some of us have said, well, you know, I there's a guy that whatever, and he's a believer, but he sure doesn't act it, you know. And there are certain areas of maturity that God is expecting us to go to and to maintain. And I want to share a couple of quick things before we get started. Maturity is not a spiritual gift, or is it a byproduct of salvation? Maturity is an ongoing process that is learned and discerned with the ability to let God control our life and become responsible on what God has given us. Now, I'll repeat that, okay? Maturity is not a spiritual gift. It is not a spiritual gift or a byproduct of salvation. Maturity is an ongoing process that is learned and discerned with the ability to let God control our life and become responsible in what He has given us. You can buy the tape if you didn't get it. Hallelujah. No one has attained full maturity. It is a lifelong process. Does everybody understand that? Maturity is something that takes work and death. Maturity is reaching one's God-given potential. No one has attained full maturity. It is a lifelong process. And maturity is something that takes work and death. And maturity is reaching one's God-given potential. In other words, we want to be able to reach the potential that God has given us. He's imparted something in us. He said, everyone has been given a measure of grace. Amen. And in that measure of grace, there's something that God has imparted in us. And He wants us to come to full maturity in that arena so He can continue to grow us in maturity. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is intro into becoming mature. 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now understand something. This is three important things He speaks about. He says, when I was a child, I spoke, I understood or perceived, right? And I thought as a child. So He's given us a stage of maturity here. It's a childish stage, isn't it? It's like an infant stage, and there are three cycles that we go through, and we'll go to that. But he says, when I became a man, or when I became mature, I put away these childish things in how I spoke, and how I perceived, and how I thought. Does everybody understand that? And how I spoke, and how I perceived, and how I thought. Those three things is what God deals with us in maturing, isn't he? So we want to come to this place where we become responsible in what he's given us. And we want to be able to let go of our life so that he has control of it. Amen? Would you turn to Ephesians 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, here we go again, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but what? Speaking truth in love, who may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. Now, we spoke Sunday about love. And I share with you that there was going to be the beginning of what God was going to deal with us in maturing, because love is a major factor in maturing. But you can't love unless you die. And you can't die unless you love. Amen? So we see here he begins to even speak about the importance of growing up or maturing so that we don't get tricked by the trickery of men or cunning craftiness, but we got to understand who uses man. Satan and the powers of darkness, don't they? So that you and I can be mature, not being tossed to and fro, not being stuck, not being sucked into the soulish realm, but walking in the Spirit, not being deceived by the flesh and the desires of the flesh, but maintaining walking in the Spirit. That's where maturity begins to manifest itself. Okay? Now I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's read verse 11 again. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So you got to understand something. He said, I put it away. Amen? Because it is our responsibility to put it away. Remember, we're to be responsible for what God has given us. Amen? And we're to maintain in the arena where we give our lives to him so that he has control. Let's go to verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And one of the things that we must know is us. Until you know you, you won't be going any further. People get stuck in a maturity cycle because they really don't know them. And what I mean by knowing them is knowing who we are. Knowing the things that hold us back. Knowing what our faults are. Knowing what our hurts are. Knowing. We must know. See, we look in a mirror. We look dimly, don't we? We're not willing to look at it all. And we cannot go any further until we allow the Spirit to show us us. See, so many people put it underneath the rug. They think little things are just, but they end up falling off. They get stuck in the cycle of maturity, which they can't go any further to mature. Because if you don't complete the cycles, you can't go any further. Now watch this. And now abide in what? Faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Because if you're not willing to die, you can't love. All right? So we see here that there is a place where we must know ourselves and desire to change. There's three cycles that we talk about. And in everything, in other words, we just talked about, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and so forth. So we see that there are cycles in our life. In fact, there is a natural cycle in life. It's called infant, adolescent, and adulthood. There's three areas of our life right there that we all have a cycle. And in the spirit realm, those cycles are repeated. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? These cycles are repeated in the spirit realm because there are things that God gives us in like an infant stage, and then we turn that, what he's given us, to an adolescent stage, and we turn that to an adulthood, which is a maturity stage, and everything that he gives us. But if we're not willing to complete one of the cycles, we get stuck, and we never mature. In fact, it's a proven fact that people who have been bound by drugs and alcohol, their maturity level stops. That's why many of us who came out of the drugs and alcohol, in the beginning we struggle because we're childish. We're not mature. And sometimes that struggle takes a lot of dying, and so that we can mature and we can complete some of the cycles that we've never completed in our life. So we got to understand something else. It's not just drugs and alcohol. Every human being is in recovery. Every human being's in recovery. You know why? Because we live in a damaged world and we are being damaged continuously. And we must be healed from the damages brought up from childhood, from infanthood to adolescent and adulthood, and continue on. You know, we're being damaged every day. But there's a place where we can be healed. And there's a place where we can mature in these areas and go on and get unstuck of these immature cycles. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. First Corinthians 3. You know, my daughter's a wonderful example. She's really teaching me. I mean, she really is teaching me because I see the infant stage in the arena where, in other words, she's finally realizing that she's herself, where she's separating. Not that she's not leaning on mom and dad, but she's separating. And that's when you hear a lot of no. You know, I mean, you pull out clothes, it's like psh, they're gone, you know, trying to chase her and change a diaper and so forth. They just, you ask to do something and it's like no. And it's just like sometimes they don't even understand what no is. But they just want to say no. And it's this infant stage which they're coming through in this cycle. And you know what? We have a tendency to doing the same thing in repeated cycles. You know what I'm saying? We become rebellious towards God. We don't want to be told what to do. We certainly don't want to be corrected. Far be it that we might be wrong. You know, so we all have to go through these cycles. And we might get through one of these cycles in one area of our life where we finally got through and we think, all right, I made that. Yes. And the next thing you know, its partner was still left behind. You know? So we've got to get into this area where we're really, really and willing to let God deal with us and show us and complete these cycles. You know, because some of us are still doing the same old thing over and over and over. That's because we're stuck in an immature cycle. He's trying to bring us to another arena and we're not allowing him to. And we're stuck. We do the same thing over and over and over and over. We're going to talk more about that. Like I said, this is just the intro of becoming mature. Hallelujah. But God wants to free us, doesn't he?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. Read it with me, please. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as to babes in Christ. Hello? That's that infant stage, isn't it? In other words, you can't feed people certain things. As a matter of fact, let me share this with you. When the Lord started this ministry, he said to me that I'm going to put meat in a bottle. And this is how the people will be fed. My people will be fed in this ministry by having meat in a bottle. In other words, our natural understanding will be thinking that we're getting milk, but it's going to be meat. And when the meat hits us, it begins to move and change us even more because there's more protein, there's more nutrients in it than milk and everything. And all of a sudden there's a quick change in us and we don't even realize it. Because how the Spirit brings it across to us, it seems like milk, but it's actually meat in a bottle. And we change more rapidly. And then what it allows is God to deal with us more rapidly, and we wonder why we go through a lot of stuff, what we're going through. And then the devil always tells you, man, how come that person ain't going through what I am? Because you're getting meat in a bottle. Hallelujah. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Why? Because of their immaturity. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? I mean, you know what he said? Mere men. Mere men. Like flesh ain't nothing. You want to act like the rest of the world, you ain't nothing.
Amen.
So what is he trying to tell us? It's important for us to what? Get in the Spirit. Amen. Because if we can't get in the Spirit, we can't receive food from the Spirit. In fact, we end up regurgitating it because we can't hold it. That's how the devil takes it. Does everybody understand that? So when we're getting this spiritual food, if we're not in the Spirit, we can't handle it.
Amen.
It actually hurts us. We don't even realize it. Hallelujah. So we see here, okay, you're still carnal. Why? Because you can tell. Well, you have envy, you strife, you cause divisions, you grumble, you complain, and you're fighting in the flesh for something you don't want to lose that you don't even have. What? That's right, man. Remember, my flesh is bigger than your flesh. See, we begin to struggle and fight in the flesh. It's powerful because the Lord sent some people across my path today, and they got this message. You know, the Spirit just gave me this message for them very quickly. as for about fighting in the flesh. The reason why we struggle in fighting the flesh is because we get stuck in an immature stage, and God is trying to bring us out of it. And we're fighting and struggling for something that we believe we have, and we don't even have it. Because we want to hold on to it. And it's called holding on to your flesh.
Amen.
Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Glory to God. In verse 8, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the what? Alpha. In other words, he is the what? The beginning and the end. In other words, he is the beginner and the completer. Absolutely. He's the starter and the finisher. Okay? He's the beginning and the end. Says the Lord, who is, that means present, and who was, which means past, and who is to come, which means completed. Now listen. This represents me and you. Because Christ dwells in us now, doesn't he?
Amen.
You and I are who is, right now and present, who was, and who is to mature. Has everybody got it? And who is to mature? We're to mature in Christ, right? This is where the 2 Corinthians 5:16, you might as well go there. Who is means present, who was means past, and who is to come means maturity in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. So it means we're coming out of the flesh, maintaining in the Spirit, and becoming mature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. I believe anyway. Is everybody there? Everybody understand that when the Lord spoke? See, because we're one with him, aren't we? Amen. We are in the present. We have a past. And we have a future. And continuing maturing. Hallelujah. In verse 16 it says, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Wow. So in other words, we're not to even acknowledge Jesus according to the flesh. Does everybody understand that? We're not even to acknowledge Jesus according to the flesh, because he isn't. If you see him right now, he's got woolly hair, fiery eyes. I mean, let me tell you something. You get in his presence, you die.
Amen.
He'll kill you with his love.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I can't wait. Hallelujah. So we're not even to regard the flesh, because the Bible says the flesh profits nothing, and no flesh shall glory in his presence. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ or in the Spirit, he is a new creation. Why? Because that which was has passed away. And that which is becoming what? New, meaning maturing. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Learning to be led by the Spirit is, and now listen, this is important. We must learn to be led by the Spirit and not by the hurts and pains or trials of the past or present. That's a form of maturity. We must learn to be led by the Spirit and not by the pains and the hurts or trials from our past or from our present. Does everybody understand that? Maturity is becoming set free from the damaging impact of the world. Maturity is becoming set free from the damaging impact of the world. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do I need to repeat any of that? Maturity is learning to be led by the Spirit and not by the hurts and pains or trials of our past or present. Maturity is becoming set free from the damaging impact of the world. That means by relationships, everything. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 4. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Would you read this with me? And Paul spoke here and he said, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom," which means carnal or natural, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In other words, he doesn't want us to run to man. He wants us to run to him. Amen? And we'll talk a little bit more about this later. But however, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. Remember, I share with you, in the flesh, it ain't nothing. Now go to verse 14. It says what? "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, you got to understand something. That's what's very important about maturity, is having spiritual discernment. But remember, the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. It's impossible. It can't. That's why we first must get in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and not be led by our pains and hurts and trials of our past or present. Those are the things that prevent us from walking in the Spirit and walking in maturity.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse 13. "These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." How can you compare spiritual things with spiritual? Unless you're in the Spirit. Man, I get attacked all the time at jail. Sheesh. It's like, you know, man, I don't believe in these gifts and I don't this and that and whatever. And why am I struggling? Because you got a devil, man. But I know you can't receive that. You know, I've been praying to God. I've been asking Him for this and I've been asking Him for that. Read the deliverance prayers. Yeah, but you don't understand. Look, your answers are here. But you understand? They can't get it. They're still stuck in that immature arena that they're still trying to fight in the flesh for something that they think they have that they don't. They're fighting, causing division and strife. Oh, man, they're angry and everything else, trying to hold on to something they don't even have. And God is answering their prayer, but they keep missing the things of God because they're not willing to die, to get in the Spirit, and catch the things of God.
Amen.
So every time they go around that cycle, and they'll stay stuck in that immature cycle, and many people will die as a believer and never be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And never have the power, nor signs and wonders will follow them, and they'll get in heaven by the skin of their teeth. And they may be chastised like they never thought they would be, because they've told the lie, denying the power of God. And they've led people astray by blinding them. They may think they're doing a work for God, but you know who they're listening to? The devil. And the devil uses them to lead them astray from the power of the Christ. And the exchange of what Jesus did on the cross. And they're blind leading the blind, because you can't see the things in the Spirit if you're in the flesh. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. So we got to understand that we must have spiritual discernment with wisdom, right? Now, wisdom tells us what to do with knowledge, and also tells us what to do with past experiences that we're to learn from and not repeat. Hello? That's a form of maturity. That's okay, man. Speak out if you want. I don't care. Praise God. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. It's all right. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's okay. All right, that's enough. Praise God. So wisdom is using the knowledge that God has given us correctly and using the past experiences as a learning process. Amen?
Amen?
Let me repeat that. Wisdom now is using the knowledge of the Word that God has given us correctly and using the past experiences as a learning process. That's a form of maturity. You'll know whether you're stuck in that cycle if you're still doing the same thing over and over. If you're still doing it, you're stuck in a cycle. That means you need to complete something. There's something that you have not completed yet to be released from that cycle to go to the next arena. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Glory, hallelujah, glory. I always look at Colossians like collisions, you know? It reminds me of colliding with something, you know? Colossians. In verse 9, chapter 1. Glory to God. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. In verse 9, is everybody there? Let's read it together. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow, how are you going to get it unless you're in the Spirit? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Say that again. According to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen. One of the things of maturity and maturing is the ability to, no matter what you've gone through, what your trial or your tribulation is, what your pains or hurts are, no matter what has happened, past, present, or future, is to always return to joy. Always return to joy. It's amazing because even when my daughter, and when she gets corrected, she may cry and doesn't like it, but then all of a sudden she returns right to joy. It's like, okay, let me do something else now. You know? But see, a part of maturing in us as a process and in this cycle is the ability to always return to joy no matter what is going on. If you can't return to joy or help others return to joy, you're missing something. Amen. You're not maturing in that arena. Amen. Oh, man. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, when I was in the world, I'd hear all of these songs. Oh, man, I backed up, ran my dog over, and this, that, and whatever. I mean, I'm telling you, man, those are depressing songs. Amen. You know, my wife left me, tire blew up, and I'm like, man, change the station, you know? You know, but things are going to happen because we lived in a damaged world, right? But, you know, Jesus prayed that we would have the fullness of his joy. Joy. That's a form of maturing, is to be able to return to joy no matter what you're going through. Amen? And not let your circumstance beat you down. But return to joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, what happens then? You return to the joy. You're actually returning into the Lord. And you're allowing him to work through you in his power and not you. Amen. The reason why we don't return to joy is because we're fighting in the flesh, trying to hold on to something and fix it. Oh, that's it. I'm going to fix this. And we get all miserable. Because you know what? We can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Is everybody there? Read it with me, please. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces... Now, patience means endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means mature. That means mature. If any of you lacks wisdom, hello, what's wisdom? To know what to do with the knowledge God's given us, and to use the experiences of our past as a learning process. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That's like that child, isn't it? For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways or immature. Does everybody understand that? Or immature. So we have to count all joy. In other words, no matter what you're going through, what's he saying? Come back to joy. Forget it. Just come on back to joy. So you lost your job. Don't worry. Come on back to joy. So you've been told no. Don't worry about it. Come back to joy. Don't try and figure it out and fight it out. You're going to lose. Amen. Why waste your time? You might as well just return to joy and go, hallelujah. And let God be God and us be his children. Amen. Endurance produces maturity. So as you and I return to the joy, count all joy, we're letting it perfect us into maturity, aren't we? It's that crushing part, isn't it? Produces diamonds. Hallelujah. Philippians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, thank you. In verse 13, Philippians 3, verse 13. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he did not count himself to come into a complete maturity. Does everybody understand that? Brethren, I do not count myself of having become matured. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hello? He said, listen, I can't tell you that I've reached that place of full maturity, but you know what I'm doing? I'm letting the stuff go. And I'm going for what's awaiting me. Why? So I can become and walk into that mature level, because the old stuff is keeping me in that cycle to where I can't go any further. Ooh. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, do you understand how he reflects back? Have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, or the area of maturity that we're at, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Wow. Why? They're walking according to their will and their way, and not according to the will and way of the Lord. Anyone who refuses to walk according to the will and way of the Lord is an enemy of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Wow. Forgetting the past. Let me share something with you. There are certain things which hold people from going and maturing. You know what they hold on to? Their past achievements. It prevents them. It's called spiritual pride. It prevents them from going forward. Past, forgetting past achievements, healing past hurts, completing cycles of maturity that have held me into the present, and maintaining a fellowship in the Spirit. And of course, maintaining fellowship in the body of Christ. You know, people that isolate themselves will not mature. They're stuck. People that isolate themselves will get stuck in a cycle and cannot mature. It's impossible. Isolation stunts the maturity growth. We need to be a part of a family. Everyone does. Where love is bound with one another. Where the ability to return ourself and the things back to joy in love. See, we need a family. We all need one another. Amen. God ordained it and created that in the body of Christ. Amen. That's why people who isolate themselves cannot go any further. And you know what happens? They get stuck because they actually listen to the carnality or the familiar spirits or the flesh, however you want to call it, I don't care, thinking that they're hearing from God, but they're really not. And they would swear up and down that they're hearing from God by isolating themselves. And that's not God's will.
Amen.
God does not want isolation of his people. Because the wolf likes one that's isolated.
Amen.
He can deceive them.
Amen.
Amen. And they may seem like the most spiritual people there are. But isolation is a fruit of deception. You know, we want to stay unstuck in the immaturity area, right? We want to go forward and move on. And it's required that we have fellowship with one another. In fact, Jesus commanded it. Didn't he say, love your brother? Amen? Hallelujah. So we want to forget our past achievements. In other words, we don't want to glory in the things that we've achieved. We want to go on, because those things will hold us. You know how many people I've talked to? And it blows my mind, because I'll talk to people and they'll tell me about all the things God did with them in their past. There's a difference in testimony and a difference in boasting yourself. And when they begin to speak about all of these certain things and what God has done in their past, they're trying to puff themselves up and they don't even realize it in a maturity level. But it's an immature level they're stuck in. Because you and I are to forget those things and surrender and let God deal with us so that new things can be manifested in the present. Achievements now. Because he is the God of now, not the God of yesterday. Amen? He's the God in the present. You can't dwell on things that you and I have done in the past. That's over with. Amen? We use those as learning experiences, don't we? But we don't use them as leaning experiences. Hello? Learning experiences. Because you and I will lose the leaning on Christ and go back instead of forward. Because we begin to work in our own strength then. And the devil loves to work that way. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. You know, did you ever realize that in some arenas, in some areas of people's life, and you got to understand something, maturing has nothing to do with ability. Hello? It's not with ability. Maturing is a representation of death. That God does it and not us. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? 5 through 9. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Do you all notice how that ended up with love again? For if these things are yours and abound, you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted or immature, even to the blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So we have to be careful there, don't we? Now you got to understand something. He talks about self-control. We must have self-control. And not allowing God to reign in our life and being stuck in an immature arena. We want to be controlling and we manipulate, not even realizing it. We can sweet talk people to have something done for us. That's called manipulation. We used to do that when we were in the world. Oh, I haven't eaten in days. And you know that you just wanted the money for dope. Man, I need to take a shower. I need clothes. I need... However it was. Manipulation is still vast a movement in the body of Christ because of immaturity. People lie. And they try to cover it up with an excuse, which is just another lie. Well, you know, I could have done this, but, you know, I was stuck at the bus stop. That's nothing but manipulation and lying. Because you know what? When we were out in the world, if there was a woman or dope or whatever it was in our life at that period of time or whatever that desire was, money or whatever, we would have done anything to go get it. But because we struggle in this immature cycle, not willing to die and not willing to allow God to run our life, and not having self-control, we begin to manipulate and lie. And we cover it with an excuse. But let me tell you something. It's growing and festering, and it will keep you in that arena, and you will never mature until it's dealt with.
Amen.
And that's where the Word says, always learning and never coming to the truth. Because truth is what frees you.
Amen.
And until you can't, you can be honest with your full self, you can never be honest before God.
Amen.
And we'll be judged for that. And the thing is then we cause hurts to others, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
And hurts to ourselves. Philippians 4. Yeah, but that's where we're getting that butt ministry. Remember, justification is hardening of the heart. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 10. Everybody there? Can we read it together, please? For I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Poor Paul. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, you lacked maturity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is powerful. This is powerful because he can only say that unless he was in total surrender. He could only say that unless he was in the Spirit and in total death. He could only say that unless he was in an arena of maturity. Or no matter what was going around him, he trusted God. No matter what. No matter in his beatings, no matter in his rejections, no matter in everything, he trusted that the Lord was in control. In every area. See, what happens is, because of immaturity, we fight and struggle to try and keep something we don't have. And we lose sight that he's the one who's in control and not us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ who strengthens me. Immaturity doesn't set limits. Maturity does not set limits on God. Maturity does not set limits on God, but discerns the limitations of the flesh. Maturity does not set limits on God, but discerns the limitations of the flesh. Oh, we might as well cook tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the only arena where we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because we're dead to self and we're alive in the Spirit. In Luke 14. Wow, I can't wait till next week. I wonder what's going to happen. Glory to God. No, don't call him sick next week, all right? We want God to complete what He started in us. In Luke 14 and verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Him, Jesus, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, girlfriends, bosses, ex-associates, money, cars, jobs, this, that, whatever. Yes, his own life also. He cannot be My disciple. Now let me share something with you. There's a difference between someone who is saved and a disciple. Someone who is saved still holding on to his own life. Can't do the will of God. Does everybody understand that? There's a disciple who is, of course, we know, saved, born again. But it's no longer him that lives, but he that lives within him, Christ. He is one that's willing to lay down his life and deny himself. There's a difference between a disciple and just one who believes. But Jesus said, go make disciples of them, didn't He? He didn't say, go make believers of them. He said, make disciples of them. Yes, His own life also. He cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Now, let me explain something. Your cross are your burdens. Your cross are your trials and tribulations. Because if you really look at how Jesus carried the cross, you know, they beat Him and everything, and then they put the board across His shoulders and said, and made Him carry the cross, didn't they? He was carrying the cross, wasn't He? He was carrying the burdens. He was carrying the hurts. He was carrying the sorrows. He was carrying all the pains and whatever, and allowing God to work in Him of what the cross was doing to Him. But there was something else that's very important. Jesus in the natural realm could not carry the cross by Himself. He didn't carry the cross all the way, did He? Somebody had to help Him. See, you and I need help. The Lord didn't come and help Him, did He? He sent a man, didn't He? Help Him. God Almighty in the natural realm needed to help carrying the cross. Now you know He could have made the cross float all the way there if He wanted. You know. I mean, there's a lot of things He could do, but He wouldn't come against His own word. Because He set rules and regulations in the natural realm. And He wanted to be the example for us.
Amen.
That He couldn't carry the cross Himself.
Amen.
That He
Amen.
Needed some help to carry the cross. Amen? Amen. That's the importance in fellowship, isn't it?
Amen.
We need one another.
Amen.
You won't learn by yourself.
Amen.
God uses man for us to learn.
Amen?
He uses... Look at this. Watch this. Then he goes on and he says what? For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's the difference between one who believed and one who was a disciple. Because a disciple will carry his cross. He'll let the cross do the work in his life. He'll let the cross do the work in his life. And that's when he can truly say, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and we'll close here. Hallelujah. I smell some flesh cooking in here tonight. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 6. I guess we're going to start at verse 5. Ooh. Now let's go to verse 6. Hallelujah. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. Is everybody with me? For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, this always reminds me, and it's powerful because one of the things is I don't believe that there was a sickness or disease hindering Paul. I truly believe that the expression of the Satan being a buffer to me as a messenger hindering me was because Paul had such great revelations in the Spirit, the one thing that was holding him back and hindering him was his own flesh. Not because of sickness or diseases. Because the word infirmity means weaknesses. He realized his flesh was the thing that was always hindering him. And if you think about it, when Peter actually was rebuking Jesus and trying to step in, you know, saying, Lord, no one's going to get to you unless he goes through me. I'll kick their butt, man, you know. No, you ain't dying, Lord. You're my God. I mean, think about it. You're my God, you know. I'm going to defend you, my creator. And Jesus turned around and said, Satan, get behind me. Whoa. I mean, talk about a rebuke and a half. You know, made him feel like a little peanut, you know. What do you mean, Lord? I'm defending you. No, your mind is the things of the world and not the will of God. Yeah, he's like, wait a minute. I want to defend you. I want to do your will. Yeah, but what you're doing isn't my will, even though you think it is. That's because he was immature. Amen. Jesus had to chasten him. Amen. We still fall into that. Amen. And the Lord rebukes us, and we shrug and say, oh, that must be the devil. But we stay stuck in that immature arena, don't we? And verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities or weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That means death. Amen? So Paul was crying out, Lord, please remove this from me. And the Lord was saying, Paul, if I remove it, you'll die. That's your flesh. And I need you to complete what I sent you to do. And that's when he can say now, for my strength, For the strength of God, or Christ, is made perfect in our weakness. Because we're not relying on us, we're relying on Him. Amen?
Amen.
We need to get unstuck in this immaturity arena and get going in the mature arena so that we can bear more fruit and prosper and complete things that God has asked us to do and be an example to the lost and dying world of many people that are damaged that need to be healed. So you and I must become in an area where we are a life-giving spirit. You cannot be a life-giving spirit if you're stuck because you're too busy fighting, maintaining your own life. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. We'll go to part two next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercies and your grace. And Lord, we desire to mature in the Spirit, bringing glory to your name and expanding your kingdom. And Lord, as you begin to deal with us in this week, give us the strength to receive and not resist you. And help us die to what we're trying to hold on to that's not even there. In Jesus' name.